So good morning and happy Resurrection Day, everyone. Good morning. It's a lovely day. It is going to rain, so I can feel it. And I'm sure you can too. You know, I remember when my parents used to tell me, it'd be like, oh, it's going to rain. I can feel it in my joints. And I'm like, that's not real. And then you get to 40 and you're like, okay, maybe it is. Something about barometric pressure and, you know, how that affects the human body. It's all good. But today we are going to, and again, I try to be as disciplined with God's word as I humanly possibly can. I know a lot of people go to church on Sundays, especially two major holidays of the year, on Easter and Christmas, and they expect to be fed regurgitated messages from like 20 years ago about, you know, Jesus has risen from the grave. This is not that church, so you're not going to get that message. But you will get something that I believe is today, a very encouraging message, and I am going to do something that I haven't done in a very long time. I'm going to be out of here in less than 40 minutes. So you are getting an actual quick message today. You're welcome. All right. So I know. Look, if Jesus can rise from the grave, then I can finish a message in under 40 minutes. Okay. So. The title of the message today is actually called Conquered the Grave. And we actually sung those song lyrics today. But you want to know something's interesting about this? If you actually go and you dig in your Bible, you'll try to find it. It's not there. Okay? You're not going to actually find those words exactly written in the Bible. But you will find other versions, and we're going to get to that. But the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is so very significant to the faith of every believer, as in each part we have the precious part of the gospel message of our salvation. In his death, we have the forgiveness of sins. In his burial, we have the old man passing away. And in the resurrection, we have the new life that we now get to live in Christ Jesus. Amen? And this is what this means to us. This is what a life in Christ is all about. But there is a really great encouragement here. So how many people really came to church this morning and are looking for some encouragement? How many people could use some really good encouraging words today? Well, I have a good news for you. That is here today for you. Amen. Not only do we have all of those things that Christ has supplied to us because of his obedience in following the plan that God had set out for the full redemption of mankind. However, we also have a victory that we tend to forget about because life happens. And as much as life happens, the ruler of this world, the enemy of your faith, wants to take every single opportunity when life hits you in the face to rob you of the victories that you have in Christ Jesus. Amen. He wants to rob you. Why? Because if he can rob you of celebrating those victories and knowing that you have overcome everything that life throws at you, guess what? That faith is unshakable. It is unmovable. It is the faith that can move a mountain into the sea. And that's why he doesn't want you to have that faith, because if you have that faith, you're a problem. How many people want to be the problem? I want to be the problem. Amen? All right. So here we go. We're going to start with Revelation. You can turn to Revelation. You can turn to Revelation 1. We're going to get to that in just a minute. But before we get there, some things to bring to you, okay? Like I said, it's a quick message, so I'm not going to waste a lot of time. When we discuss the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we usually use this phrase, that he has conquered the grave. And as we already sung these lyrics in the song, you know it, you hear it all the time, right? It's a phrase that we as believers do bring. And one of the people I've worked with and discipled in countless times and have had many conversations with this individual. One of the things that individual always used to bring to me are these things that we constantly say, these phrases, but not knowing really why or what those meanings are to those phrases. Like, what is the significance of this phrase? Why do we say these things? And sometimes we have a bad habit because as we grow more and more in time along in our faith, we tend to just keep these phrases going, but they become more commonplace in our faith. Amen. And sometimes we lose that point of understanding that we know what it means to us because we just live it and we're in it all the time, but we use it so freely. We forget that those that don't know that phrase don't understand the depth and the brevity of it that we do. And that's part of our job. We have to bring people into that depth, into that deeper water. Amen. And so today that's a little bit of what this is. So what does this phrase mean that he has conquered the grave? And how is it significant to our walks? We generally simplify this phrase to mean that we have eternal life, right? If I say he has conquered the grave, that means what? That he has conquered death, which means now you have everlasting life or eternal life. So this is the oversimplified version, and we just kind of throw he has conquered the grave as a nice way to make it into a song, which isn't a bad song. Not complaining about it at all. But it works for us as believers, and it's so we continue to carry this phrase along. But I want to take a look at the word, because as you know, I love going into the depth of the words. So we're going to take a look at the word conquer according to 1828. And if you go ahead and you look it up yourself, you'll find there's quite a few definitions, but I'm going to actually use two, not just one definition out of conquer to explain this. The first definition says to subdue, to reduce by physical force till resistance is no longer made. To overcome, to vanquish. I really want you guys to just hear those words and know that that is Jesus over Satan, over death, over sin, over everything that could come against his chosen people. Listen to this again. To subdue, to reduce by physical force till resistance is no longer made. To overcome, to vanquish. And then the second definition says to gain by force, to win, to take possession by violent means, to gain dominion or sovereignty over as the subduing of the power of an enemy generally implies possession of the person or thing subdued by the conqueror. Thus, a king or an army conquers a country or a city, which is afterward restored. Now, we can use both definitions, and we can get a better grasp on what Jesus actually has done through the resurrection. What was forever considered, biblically, mind you, okay, a final end to all life was death. When you were gone, you were gone. Yes? Okay. Keep that in mind. And in that death, that end, the enemy would celebrate that as a victory. Why was that a victory to the enemy when you would cease to exist before Christ had overcome the grave or conquered the grave? Because sin was still present, right? And because of the sin, the original sin of man was still upon them, the punishment of that sin by God was what? Was death. And so that is indeed a punishment from sin that the enemy had sowed into each and every one of us so that we will taste death, which means that is not a part of God's original plan. Amen. That was never part of God's plan. God's plan was not to have us die, but was for us to live forever with him in eternity. Amen. So that's clear. You got to know that. That's Bible 101 stuff, right? Amen. All right. That's not a hard thing to grasp. Got to find my spot here. So again, he would celebrate that because that meant that he had won. Because when you were gone, that means the sin that he sowed in the beginning had had its final outcome, which means you were now eternally separated from the Father. Or at least so he thought. Now, to the aspects of this goes even further because there's a visual knowledge of that death. and relating that to a punish for a natural product of sin. So when you witness that death and you see someone pass away and you see that there's no longer a life in them, that sows in what? The other product that the enemy uses to control, fear. Fear, because that fear of death means that you will no longer not just be able to be here with the ones that you love, but you will also be now separated. And so the enemy uses this time and time again. And with that fear, the devil can manipulate and coerce us into believing and accepting things that go against God's original intentions. But now that death has been defeated, and not just down for a round, but vanquished, again, using these words, meaning things, amen, he took it and not just beat it. So I just want to bring this to clarity. When Jesus paid the price, went to the cross, died, buried in the tomb, and then rose again, and the tomb is empty, amen? That resurrection was not just a, I got you. You thought I was going to stay down, but look, here I am. I'm back again, and now I'm just going to raise heaven on earth, right? Is that what happened? Not the way we think. He is raising heaven on earth, but it's through each and every one of you. Amen? Because he has ascended. So now we have this situation unfolding and it's bubbling, but it's not what you think. Because again, I read those words. I read that definition. Vanquish, right? He conquered. That means he vanquished. What does vanquish mean? It means obliterated. It means no evidence remaining, not a speck, not a jot or a tittle. There is nothing left of the enemy. But okay, hold on. Yeah, parades him around, right? You're getting ahead of me a little bit, but that's okay, right? But here's some other things. Gain dominion or sovereignty over. You might be like, well, Pastor, he doesn't want dominion over the devil. He doesn't want dominion or sovereignty over the devil. No, 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 no. He mopped him, but you're not understanding what he did when he mopped him. It wasn't just to make a mockery and a fool of him, though he did, but that's not the reason why he did it. Because that's not his intentions. That's not his heart. Because you got to remember, when Jesus was being marched down the street and carrying that cross on his back until he could no longer, and then when he's getting nailed to that cross, who thought that he had the last laugh? The devil did. He thought he was making a mockery of God. He thought he was the one who had gotten one over. But when Jesus came back, well, everything you thought now just changed. In my way, I see this as Jesus gets on the top turnbuckle and drops a Macho Man Randy Savage right on him, okay? That's what I see. All right, that's my silly way of putting it. But he didn't just gain that victory. When he had taken dominion over, what that looks like is when he grabbed everything that the enemy possessed, everything that he held in his hands, his little controlled world, his fiefdom, which was what? What did he have? Where was his dominion? His dominion was over sin. His dominion was over Hades and death, right? So he had the keys to the kingdom of hell, and he had the keys to the kingdom of this world. And when the resurrection happened, that conquering of death is not just beating the tar out of Satan. It's taking everything that he possessed, and now Jesus now has dominion over it. He is now the sovereign ruler of it. This is very important. What does that look like? It means that death is no longer final for those who believe. Amen. It means that it doesn't mean the end of your life. Christ now sits on the throne, and with those keys that he has in his possession, he can open and shut whatever he wants as he wills, because he is king. Amen. So now let's go. Revelation 1 verse 18. And we already read this during our Good Friday service, but it's back again. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and death. What's that mean? He has dominion. He is the sovereign ruler over it. He can open and shut as he sees fit. What else do we have? We have Colossians 2. Again, these are really short, so you shouldn't have to run around too much. Two verses here, Colossians 2, verses 14 and 15. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way. Having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them. That is the victory. Amen. And then Hebrews 2. Same two numbers, 14 and 15. Inasmuch then, as the children have partaken of the flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him. That's some powerful word. Destroy. Him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Not only did he conquer death, but he conquered fear of death. This is not just a resurrection, church. This is a victory. This is dominion. This is a conquering. When we say he has conquered the grave, conquer means something. Amen. It is not a hollow word. There is so much power and authority in that word. And I want to bring it to your attention today. But all of the rulers and the principalities and powers that be that had control, in that resurrection, he subdued them, and he has risen as the authority over all of them. And I want to bring some things to light. Do you remember when he was walking along with the disciples, and even the demons that were there, all walking alongside, shuddered in fear? Why? Why did they fear him? Because they knew who he is. And not only did they know who he is, they are also aware of what he was going to do. You gotta remember, we are the ones that are held by time. Spiritual powers and spiritual places are not restricted by time. So they are also aware that their time was short. So he has those keys. He has that dominion. And he did every single thing that he did, not just to show his power and might as a display to showcase his authority. Though he did do all of that, but that was not the motivation or the rationale or the reason why he did everything he did. He did this for who? He did this for you. He did this for you. He did this for each and every one of us, even those who still do not even know him. He has done this for. Amen. And this is Romans 8. Just a few verses here in Romans 8. Starting at verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Amen. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. I told you in the beginning that this is an exhortation. This is an encouraging word for you this morning. This is something to empower you, to give you that boost in your faith, to know something deeper and meaningful about the resurrection. And what is that? Because what did the resurrection give you? What do you have in the resurrection of Jesus Christ? I told you right in the very beginning that through the death, burial, and resurrection, there's three parts of the gospel message contained, right? And in that resurrection, we have a new life that we have now in Christ. Amen? And that you hear right there in Romans 8. That the Spirit of Him who dwells in you now gives you life. Amen? Amen? He gives you life. That life that you now get to live in Him. But here's the thing. Read that to yourself one more time and ask yourself, who is in the control of it? Because I can tell you, you're going to sit here and you're going to go through it and you're going to be like, well, Jesus is in control. Right? Jesus is in control, right? He's in control. However, I have a dilemma with that situation. Because what I read in there and what I have found out, and I have scripture backing me up, is that what we have when we come to the resurrected life of Jesus Christ, and we have now a new life, a resurrected life that is in Christ Jesus, we are not robots in Christ Jesus, but He has given you freedom. You have liberty in Christ Jesus. Amen. You have liberty. And what that liberty needs to be aligned to is that liberty goes to Him. That liberty wants Him. That liberty chooses Him. Because to choose the other would be to choose death. Amen? That's what I hear. That's what I'm reading in Romans 8. But we now have access to perfect freedom. Perfect liberty. One that isn't tainted or shrouded with some kind of consequence around the backside. Do you know that you are always given some sort of freedom when you were a part of the world? Because everybody thought you could do whatever you wanted to do, right? Right? You could do anything. Sometimes even the biggest temptation the world throws is, you know, you're so restricted in your faith. You can't do this. You can't do that because the Bible says you can't. Right? But you know, if you just go back in the world, you can do whatever you want. Yeah, but you know what you always get for doing whatever you want in the world? Consequences. But do you know what you have in the perfect freedom and liberty of Christ? But you have blessings. You have the goodness of God upon you. You have forgiveness. You have righteousness. You have so many more things that are contained when you align that freedom with God's perfect plan in your life. Amen? But the keys that Jesus grabbed from the enemy in that moment, and He snatched them out of His hands as He's dropping elbows on His forehead, right? Guess where they are sitting? They're still with Him. And where is He at? He's in each and every one of you. What that tells me is that those keys, that victory, that conquering, that glory that God had through Christ in that resurrection is in each and every one of you. Because those keys are still with Him and He's with you. Amen? So what does that mean? That means you have the victory. He's given you his victory. Amen. He's given you the win. You get to claim the W's. How many people are looking for some W's? You got them in Christ Jesus. Amen. All of this we have through Christ. What we have come to understand is that we have every win, every victory, because he has conquered death and fear no longer has a hold on us. This frees us to live in the life that he gives us, a life free from the consequences of sin and a life that brings us back to the Father, so that we can have that perfect intimate relationship that he always intended from the very beginning. But we don't have to live in the life of the world. We get to live in a life that is free from the world. Amen. We get to walk out in faith. And I want to give you just one last thing. If you're not sure what that looks like, you need to read Acts. Because that, church, is what freedom in Christ Jesus looks like. When you live your life in a way that God is paramount, and you know that that freedom you have in Christ Jesus means you have every victory. That means, guess what? They could falsely accuse you of a crime you didn't commit and throw you in jail. How are you getting out? I'm going to praise and worship my God Almighty, and guess what? He will set me free. Amen. I could run into a situation where even the worst of the worst of the people who have threatened your life and want to do you harm have a mark on your head, and God will call you and say, hey, you're going to meet this guy over here, and I want you to just lay hands on him and pray. And guess what that person's going to do? He's going to recover. He's going to fall on his knees. He's going to worship God Almighty, and he is going to become one of the greatest people to come and set captives free in the name of Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We have to understand what that freedom looks like. But I can promise you, if you're looking for W's, if you're looking for victories, if you're looking for things to God to open up, stop looking. You already have it. Take authority. He's given it to you. And I'm not saying, and you might be like, Pastor, this sounds a lot like a name it and claim it message. I'm like, no, I'm not saying name it and claim it. I'm saying, within the freedom that you have, that Jesus has given you, choose him and his way. And guess what? That what he provides, that what he shows in your life, that what he reveals to you, you can lay claim of. And I can promise you, it's always better than anything you try to make on your own. I can promise you, it is more freeing. It is more relieving. It is more good than anything you can think of or imagine. God is good. His plans are good. His purpose is good. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ has given us full access to all of it. Amen. Amen. So, Father, I just thank you for your people this morning. I thank you for hearts that are tender towards you. And I thank you, Jesus, that you, Lord, you saw every single aspect of the Father's plan, and you walked it out to its fullest and its completion. And because of what you have done, you have given us your goodness, your life, your purpose. And you've instilled it in each and every one of us with such a sweet and tender heart, such kindness, such grace, that even in the midst of the mistakes and the things that we have done that are outside of that will, that you have poured out your blood on the mercy seat to cover even those things, so that we can walk out in the resurrected life that you have given to each and every one of us, free from sin, free from all of the temptations of the world, free from fear that would try to grasp and steer us away from your perfect will and plan. And that all of this, God, you pour out so many tremendous blessings upon us, because all of this is geared for one real reason, that we can come face to face with you. We can come to our loving Father, and we can see you as you have always wanted to see, and how you have always wanted us to be together with you. And so, Lord, I thank you. I pray that each one here would rejoice, bless your name, and give you all that you were worth and all that you were to be honored with today. And that we would never lose sight of what you have done. We thank you for the resurrection and we thank you for the cross in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen.